Brian Jennings, CEO, American Coalition for Ethanol.
Brian, as I understand it, the EPA will be proposing new targets for the next 3 years of the renewable fuel standard. I want to start out by asking you, from an ethanol perspective, is this viewed as something positive for ethanol, negative, or it's somewhere in between?
Mark, we view the reset process that we are about to embark on with EPA regarding the RFS is neither positive nor negative. It's to be determined based upon, you know, the direction that EPA wants to go. This is baked into the law. We knew that if the volumes fell short by at least 20% for two consecutive years, which happened right away for both cellulosic and advanced, or by 50% in a single year, which frankly happened right away for cellulosic and advanced, that EPA would possibly go down this road. But they were going to wait until the total volume also met this reset trigger. When they proposed the 2019 volume for next year, for next year at nearly 20 billion gallons, that will hit this reset target for 2020, and so we'll be moving forward and working with them on this.
So it remains to be seen if this will be good or bad for the ethanol industry and for U.S. renewable fuels in general. Lay out a couple of possible scenarios, one being a best case or a positive scenario where it would benefit the industry, and a situation where it could hurt the industry, and what the possibilities really are right now.
Well, in terms of how this reset could hurt the industry, Mark, we certainly anticipate that EPA will propose to dramatically reduce the annual targets for cellulosic and advanced biofuel from 2020 to 2022. That is going to send a negative signal, likely, to investors in that space. And we have tried for years, of course, to really get cellulosic biofuel facilities off the ground. Standalone projects, standalone technologies have faced hurdles, whether it's the cost of technology or simply the cost of competing with other more efficient processes, but we've been successful with bolt-on technologies, for example, corn kernel fiber. And so if EPA dramatically undercuts the cellulosic biofuel target, it's going to be harder for investors and for companies to make progress on commercializing cellulosic biofuel. And that will have a ripple effect, of course, for advanced biofuel as well. On a potentially positive note, EPA does have the ability to not only maintain the 15 billion gallon target for conventional biofuel, which is typically filled with U.S. corn ethanol because of how cost competitive it is, there may be some opportunities to look at potentially increasing gradually the use of conventional biofuel in a reset. But, you know, these are big questions you're asking, and we're going to learn a lot about what EPA wants to do in terms of their direction on this when they issue the proposal in January, in just a couple of months.
And I was about to ask you about the timeline here, since you knew this was coming. You point to January, and then what happens after that as we look at what they will put in place for 2020, 2021, and 2022?
So right after the first of the year, in January of 2019, we anticipate EPA will propose a rule that will reset the RFS volumes for total, advanced, and cellulosic biofuel for those years that you just mentioned, 2020 through 2022. We anticipate that they will have a final rule in place by the end of 2019. So during calendar year 2019, not only will our industry have our hands full working with EPA to try and make sure we can get E15 use year-round and get that rulemaking mark complete by the summer driving season. But we will be very busy working with EPA to try and make sure that this reset of the RFS volumes for 2020 through 2022 conforms with the letter and the spirit of the law, maintains a demand floor for ethanol, and frankly doesn't continue to allow refiners to receive these backdoor waivers where they can escape their legal obligations to blend ethanol or renewable fuel, or diesel, excuse me, biodiesel with their gasoline and petroleum.
Looking at cellulosic ethanol and advanced biofuels, Brian, when you think about the cart before the horse, I guess, and what it would take to get those volumes to the statute and falling short of those, what is transpiring now with the reset, in reflection, you know, what didn't occur that needed to avoid something like this from happening?
Well, Mark, Congress certainly may have been ambitious when they set the annual statutory targets for cellulosic and advanced biofuel back in 2007 when RFS 2 was enacted. What Congress did not have the wisdom to see, and in fairness, no one had the wisdom to see, is the financial meltdown that the United States and many parts of the world would undergo in 2008, 2009, 2010, how long it has taken to recover from that. And I think there was also a misunderstanding of the cost of some of the technologies to produce cellulosic biofuel. There's a reason we make so much ethanol from corn in the United States, because it is incredibly cost-effective. It's an incredibly efficient process. It is hard to compete with that if you're creating a new technology that requires more energy, that is more intensive and more expensive. And so there needs to be, I think, some reasonable adjustments to the advanced and cellulosic targets. But we cannot allow EPA to really rip the bottom out from under the support that we have or the market access that we need for these fuels in the future. And so there's a fine line between getting it right and cutting too deep. And we will be very carefully working with EPA to make sure that they do not cut too deep during this process.